hear from a multi-exit founder and about protecting your kids and yourself from deep fakes and hackers. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the AIP podcast. My name is Anne Chang. I am the CEO of Supercharge Lab and your host of the podcast, and today we are honored to have Yuri Voynes, who is the Chief Innovation Officer of Aura. Now, Yuri's remarkable journey spans over 15 years in the cybersecurity industry. His achievements speak volumes, starting with being the founder of the acquired cybersecurity company Clario, to his most recent role as a co-founder of FigLeaf, which was also successfully acquired by Aura. Now, as Chief Innovation Officer at Aura, he leads its innovation team, driving research and development to enhance digital protection capabilities. Now, Aura stands as a leader in digital security, leveraging advanced AI and machine learning to deliver personalized safety solutions for consumers and their families. Yuri's expertise has been instrumental in shaping Aura's AI-driven platform, revolutionizing digital security experiences and championing what we all need, a safer internet for all. So today, we're very privileged to gain insights from Yuri on protecting ourselves and our loved ones from cyber threats. Welcome to the show, Yuri.
Hey there, thank you for having me.
Yuri, thanks so much for being here. And maybe let's start by discussing a little bit about your background and how you came around to founding multiple successful exited companies.
Yeah, it was a lot of work and a little bit of luck, I guess. I actually was working as a software engineer, and right after I graduated from the tech university, I was very lucky and fortunate to build a startup. This was actually the first cybersecurity startup company, now called Clario, which is one of the most successful startups that we've built together. And then it was really a cascade of launching a whole bunch of products, most of them in the cybersecurity or utility space, but not all of them. Like, I did one very, very specific gig with a hardware company called Play Jammy Guitar, which was extremely insightful and interesting. Yes, and my most recent company was sold to Aura, a Boston-based cybersecurity company, where I lead their innovation function.
That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about cybersecurity. So what proactive steps can individuals, and more than ever, the parents of children and adolescents, in fact, take to enhance their overall cybersecurity posture and mitigate the risk of falling victim to common cyber threats?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more sophisticated, to be honest with you, that everything is digital in our life right now. Like, it used to be an antivirus for your computer. We have so many devices now, it's literally everywhere. So it is, it's becoming more difficult for sure, as digital has penetrated our life, and it's very difficult to differentiate online versus offline. I would say, however, that the largest effort or angle of attacks that we are seeing is impersonations and scams, where people are trying to not hack an operating system or a technical system per se, but rather our, as human beings, our ability to trust and our ability to recognize a bad actor. So it's a lot of things, I guess it's a lot of effort in coming up with things to pretend to be someone you can trust. And then once they gain this trust, capitalizing on that. So we can speak about that, but there is more and more things you cannot trust, from QR code on the wall, to a job description where people are asking you to verify your identity and you have to pay to do that, but that was all fake, and you name it. So every single aspect of our world is now somewhat fulfilled with scams, and it's a big, big challenge to understand how to protect everyone from it.
Absolutely. As the Chief Innovation Officer of Aura, you're at the forefront of technological advancements in cybersecurity, particularly. What specific measures and technologies does Aura employ to address the unique challenges of safeguarding vulnerable demographics?
Right. So I was leading developing three very interesting technologies, and I think they speak of the vision that we carry. One of them is called call protection, the other is message protection, and the other is email protection. So you can see those are family of companions. The way to think about them is AI companions that read every single incoming communication. And as they read the incoming communication, they almost help you to augment your ability to recognize suspicious things. And they do this by understanding gazillions of attributes at the same time for every single message. And depending on the channel, of course, those are differ, but we look for similarities with other known scams or other known bad messages. We look for things like emotional sentiment of the message. Are there any pressure tactics? Are there any psychological effects that are known to be used in those type of efforts? Are there any technical nuances that it is very difficult for a human eye to catch? Like, I'll give you an example. This could be an email saying that, pretending to be from someone you know, with an email address very similar to some to one that someone has, but with a slight difference. So, of course, it's very difficult for you to recognize that it was very easy for an AI system to say, hey, you actually have never received an email from this person before, beware, and stuff like that. And when you add up all of those attributes, you come to a really compelling risk score, and now it becomes much easier to differentiate like which messages you can trust and which messages you really can't. And that is, I think, is the vision for the CyberSec, like in every single channel. How can you recognize what you can trust?
That's amazing. You're deeply involved in pioneering initiatives at Aura. How do you envision the future of digital security particularly?
It's interesting. You know, the industry has been there forever, and I think it's not going anywhere, to be honest with you. I think it's just becoming both. It's an increasing effort from both sides, and it's a cat and mouse type of dynamics there, attackers versus those who are trying to protect. I do see a lot of misinformation, disinformation, deepfakes in play right now. So I actually, those are very new, somewhat new, but we already see the success of those scams is happening. People are jumping on and Zoom calls and thinking they talk to someone, to the CEO of the company, although it's a deep fake. They're talking over the phone with someone that looks or seems like someone you know, but they're not, and so on and so forth. Some of those attacks are multi-channel, like you receive an email and in a second you get a phone call from someone who sounds like your CEO and he says, we're in deep yogurt and I need you to look at this link right away and tell me if you see the same thing I do. And of course you click on the link, you know, if the pressure got to you, you won't pay a lot of attention. So that is how everything combined, it works. So I guess it becomes very, very sophisticated. And that is why we are very bullish about AI companions for every single channel that will help us to prevent that. But it is very, let me say this, technologically, it is very difficult to recognize a deepfake. For human beings, we're also, the scams are capitalizing on our ability, our disposition of trust. Like we believe what we see. If someone looks like the CEO and he speaks like the CEO, we tend to believe it is the CEO. It's not very known to human beings that those might be a deepfake. So because of the nature of those things is very new, it's very difficult to protect from that because we don't really expect that.
That is a pretty scary future. But Yuri, onto the subject of your success as a founder, you've exited several companies. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, navigating that journey of building a company from the ground up and ultimately, you know, getting it to an exit. Can you share some nuggets of advice or insights with our listeners?
Sure. I would also mention that our first company was completely bootstrapped. So we never took any outside investment, which was, I guess, it's a special thing to do or a special way to build a company. As I work now in a large organization and we build extremely complex, extremely innovative products, I would say that that skill set is very different from launching something from the ground up. I'd say that when you are just getting started, focus on the customer, focus on a compelling real problem that you want to solve, and focus on the market fit and usage. Like, don't focus on the scalability of how do you want to make it high quality for a million users. Like, all those problems you're gonna solve way later. And I guess it's that laser sharp focus on the market fit and on your product, not delegating, not overspending, like being extremely diligent about those things and coming up with something useful is a very first step to build a successful venture.
That's amazing. Reflecting on your experiences as an exited founder, what are perhaps the key lessons you've learned along the way that you'd like to, perhaps help some aspiring entrepreneurs benefit from?
Well, one I already shared, it's how to build something from the ground up. But I think it sounds like a cliche, but it really is something that is deeply powerful and I believe in. I think your team and your co-founders, your founding team is way more valuable in the beginning than your idea. Like, I would almost guarantee that you will pivot or iterate, or you will land on a different version of your idea. Not to mention, I truly believe that your idea is awesome. But as you build those things, you know, things change and the market change and you know, the starting point change. So what matters is the team. And if the team is so good, the chances that you will figure out something, how to move forward, are much higher. And if you enjoy what you're doing, then it's much easier to overcome all the struggle and overcome all the challenges. I guess that is my one big advice to everyone who's building the venture. The only other one that is interesting, and a lot of people would disagree with me, I would say that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So optimize for a good health. Like, take a lot of sleep. Like, a lot of time people would say, oh, I work all the time, 24/7, I'm almost on my email, I don't sleep. I'm like, well, you might burn out after, you know, maintaining this pace for quite a while. But what people don't realize, you know, you're not going to optimize for things that are not going to work out. You're going to optimize for believing this is going to work out. And thus, you're going to be there in a year, in 5 years, and in 10 years, maybe even more. So you have to factor this in, and you have to be functional and on your peak performance, and ideally your performance actually goes up, and sleep and those fundamental things like exercise, clean food, I think it's very, very important because it will impact your mood and your ability to work more efficiently.
That's amazing advice. And Yuri, I think sometimes as founders, we tend to forget how important taking care of the house is, right? So Yuri, it's been such a blast having you on the show. Thank you for being with us. And to our audience, if you have definitely enjoyed hearing about Yuri's journey as much as I have, give us a like and share this podcast with your peers. It helps us so much more than you would ever know. So the bigger the show, the better the content, the bigger the guests. So once again, guys, thank you for being part of this journey. My name is Anne, the CEO of Supercharge Lab and your host of the AIP podcast. I'm signing off. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.